out here, doesn't know. That's right. Okay. So we've been in Ephesians. We've been talking about chapter 1. We talked about sonship and how we're predestined to be sons, holy and blameless before Him in love. This is the good pleasure of His will. This isn't something that He reluctantly did. This was the design. This is why there's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And He's come, He's given us His Spirit, who's a guarantee of our inheritance. He's given us the kingdom, and now He is at work by His Spirit to redeem the purchased possessions. That's us. And so that's what this letter's about. Paul goes into praying that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, that we might be able to grasp and see and get a revelation of what is the hope of His calling, which, as John said a few weeks ago, is supremely to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is what He's doing. He's making people like Him. This is what God is doing. This is why the earth is here, for sons and daughters bearing His image to reveal His glory. It's His character, it's His nature, and it's His love. It is the bond of perfection, which we read about in Colossians. It's the whole purpose of the commandment, Paul writes to Timothy. It is the fulfillment of the law. It's the greatest commandment. It's the divine nature of God. It is love. It is not niceness. It is not a worldly kind of, oh, it's okay, it's okay. It's not tolerance. Love rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love is strong because it doesn't seek its own, so it can be there for others. And this is what He's doing. You know, the grace, it's all grace. It's grace through faith. We've got access to the Father through Jesus. He preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near, brought near by the blood of Christ. We talked about how He's building us as His body into a dwelling place for Himself in the Spirit. That is, He is building communities, churches, together in each city where He can inhabit, where He can dwell and actually fill a community and vitalize a people group with the eternal life of God, with the Spirit of God. This is what He is doing. This is His plan, and this plan is that through the church, His manifold wisdom would be displayed to the spiritual realm. And this is where we fit in. We're a part of this picture. God wants to display His manifold wisdom through us. He wants to fill us and vitalize us by His Spirit. We talked about the church is built on the apostolic foundation, which is Christ crucified. There is no other foundation, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Paul goes on and prays another prayer about that the Father would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might but through His Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ can be formed in us. And this is what Paul is praying for the saints in Ephesus, and this is what I'm praying for us. And he talks about being rooted and grounded in love, so that we might know with all the saints, be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, which passes science, natural knowledge, and facts, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So these are the things we've been talking about. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That means your best prayer or your wildest dream fall short of what God's power and God's Spirit wants to do in us. So we need to throw off all the limiting phrases and you know, the bondage of religion, the bondage of just psychologically analyzing a fallen man and putting that on like a t-shirt and saying, this is us and this is our future. And we need to actually get our hopes up a little bit about what God wants to do by His Spirit. Yep, it's good. And on the back of all that, Paul says, I therefore beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. We talked about the unity of the Spirit. The unity of faith is something we're growing into. The unity of the Spirit is something we've been asked to keep and guard. We already have it. Because there's one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father of all who is in us all. And that's good. So this is already given to us. We all drink from the same Spirit. And we talked about apprehending and beholding and perceiving the preciousness of each other in God. And being committed that as we grow to the unity of the faith and as we bump into each other's wonky theology and all these other sorts of things, that we would be committed to maintaining the unity of the Spirit so that fellowship's not broken and God to continue to knit us together. And last week we talked about what some have come to call the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And one thing that I did want to mention about that, we talked about that, is that these giftings that Christ has given to the church, some call them ascension gifts, they are not identities. They are functions. It is a job. It is not an identity. So it's a major red flag when someone needs to write Apostle so-and-so on their Facebook page or on their business card. Because this is not an identity. This is not who we are. Who we are is found in Christ only. These are merely functions. That's like saying, my wife Isabel is a mum. Well, yes, she is a mum, but there's more to her than that. And she better know that when the kids grow up and move on, right? Otherwise, what? Well, what now? I've been displaced. So these are functions, not identities, right? And then we talked about these ministries, these functions are gifts to the body to bring us to a place of maturity, for the work to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, the King James says. And I would put it to us that that ministry, the ministry that we've been given, whilst Romans does teach there are differences of ministries and varieties of gifts and callings, the ministry Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, and it is the ministry of reconciliation that the Father has given us as the church, of crying out to a dying world, be restored to the Father, because He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we could become right with God. And that's why when the angel came, he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is the Father's heart. And this is the ministry that all of our ministry better fit within. Well, it must fit within. Okay, so, and I also last week talked about the growing to this place of the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, which is a complete man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we talked about how this needs to be our goal. You know? A few verses later it says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And is that your goal? Is that why you woke up this morning? Do you think about that? Because if we're living outside of this, and there may be different language that you put that in, you know, you might wake up and you might know that you're on the earth to shine, to walk in love, right? But if this is not our goal, we are living outside of why we are here. This is the goal of the church, is to grow up into Jesus in all things and give the world a demonstration of Christ. A demonstration of Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Okay, this is very good. This is exciting. But we've got to get serious with this. This chapter is a great chapter to go and meditate on about what God wants to do in our church. And we talked about how each part has to be connected to the head. The head is Christ, each part of the body. And it's through each part of the body's connection to the head that we can be knit together by what each joint, each part of the body supplies. So I need the grace that's in your life. I need to be able to glean from your relationship with Jesus. This is the body. This is the design. That as we're all growing in our relationship with Jesus, not just knowledge of Him, but knowing Him, that as we are all learning to drink from His Spirit and to be built up and edified and empowered by His grace, that there's this somehow this synergistic effect through the communion and relationship that we have with each other, where the church actually becomes a place where Christians grow quickly. This is the design. because we're knit together and we're edified by what each joint supplies according to the effective working by which each part does its share. What is the effective working? It's the power of the Spirit. It's grace. It's the grace of God at work in us. This is the effective working, and it's working to cause the growth of the body for the edifying of itself, for the edifying of itself in love. Love, 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 love. If we don't have it, we've got nothing. Doesn't mean we didn't go to church our whole life. Doesn't mean we didn't serve in a ministry. Doesn't mean we didn't pastor. Doesn't mean we didn't prophesy. Doesn't mean we didn't have faith to move mountains. Doesn't mean we didn't give our gifts to the poor. Doesn't mean we didn't give our body to be burned. But if we don't have love, we've got nothing, because we did it on our own. We did it on our own strength. We did it for ourselves. We did it to build a name for ourselves. We did it to affirm to ourselves our own spirituality. That's not what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for people who are weary and heavy laden and are sick of themselves. You've got to be sick of yourself. Have you been sick of yourself? You can't come to Him some other way. Do you know what I mean? You may have grown up in church. I grew up in church. That's not enough. You have to get sick of yourself. Growing up in church doesn't mean you're not born into Adam. Doesn't mean you don't need to be born again. We're all born into Adam, and you must be born again or you can't see the kingdom. If you can't see the kingdom, surely you can't enter it. All right. So on the back of that, we move into this next little passage. It's titled in my Bible, The New Man. This I say, therefore, in the light of that, the body's trying to grow up into love, in the light of the fact that we're trying to grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Jesus. We're growing in faith until our lives look like Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you believe, the same things you'll do. If you don't believe, then you probably won't. Faith is how we abide. Faith comes through relationship. Faith comes through hearing His word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because everybody who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Are we seeking? Because if you seek, you find. If you knock, the door's opened. If you ask, you receive. That's a promise. We can take that to Him in prayer when it feels dry. We can take that to Him in the Bible, in our Bible reading, if it's gotten dry and dead. This is Your word, Lord. And if I seek You, I find. And I don't have to feel it right now, but I thank You that Your word is powerful and I'm seeking You best I know how, and Your word is going to work in me. You see how you mix it with faith? The gospel didn't profit the Israelites coming out of Egypt because they didn't mix it with faith. They wandered about. They didn't realize what had happened to them. And when they got to the promised land, God had to send them back to the Red Sea, back to their baptism, back to believe what had happened to them. You got set free from Egypt. Come on, believe. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones. They said, yes, we believe God. We'll go in. We'll take the land. He's been faithful. He's provided to give us water from the rock, manna on the ground. Jesus says, I'm the manna. I'm the water. I'm the rock. These things are written as a warning to us so that we don't just think, yeah, I'm in. I've prayed the prayer. I've been baptized. I've been set free. It's so that we actually learn to feed, learn to drink, learn to follow, learn to be led by His Spirit and actually enter into this kingdom. It's one thing to see the kingdom. It's another thing to enter the kingdom. If you want to see it, you've got to be born again. But it's revealed to us by His Spirit. By His Spirit. Jesus talked about learning from Me. We're about to read about that. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. All right. The futility of the mind is the vanity of the mind. It's just a darkened mind. Have we got that up? Yeah, great. The mind is the intellect. The thoughts, the feelings, the wills, the understanding. This is the word that's used for mind here. It's kind of a bit like the heart, really. It's more than just what we would think of as the mind, maybe the soul. having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I want to, you know, when we read passages like this in the New Testament, it's easy to go, oh yeah, I'm born again Christian. That's not me. He's talking to born again Christians. That's who he's talking to. And he actually says, I testify in the Lord. That means he's saying this absolutely by the Lord, which means Jesus is talking to us right now, that you should no longer. That means it's possible to live that way still. That means we can be a Christian and still be walking in the vanity, in the futility of our own minds, because we haven't renewed our minds. We haven't been abiding in his word to know the truth, and it's made us free. But, you know, there's places in the New Testament where it says, you know, there are those, you know, who walk as though they're enemies of the cross of Christ. He's talking to the church. So we want to make sure this isn't us. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. The understanding is the deep thought, the faculty of the mind, its disposition, the exercise and imagination of the mind. Why is it darkened? Because it's alienated from the life of God. Remember, the life that was in Jesus is the light of men. It's the Spirit, it's the breath of God that illuminates the truth to us. He's the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who shows us the kingdom, shows us the things we've freely been given by God. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. Being past feeling because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Do you understand this? There's people, and that this is a warning to us as Christians, that we don't just continue to live out of our own resources. Do you understand? Out of our own mind. Well, I think this. Well, I say this. Well, Jesus rocked up and said, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. And at the end of it, it's got to be apparent he's not saying what we've been saying. So we've got to find out what he's saying, right? Because he's the truth. He came to bear witness to the truth. He said, if you follow me, you'll have the light of life, right? The life that was in Jesus is the light of men. It's John 1. Having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Do you see this isn't some place that Christians wake up in the morning and set out to live? It's ignorance. And we've been taught what you don't know won't hurt you. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where there's no prophetic vision or revelation, the people perish. It's the truth that makes us free. If you know the truth, it's not the truth that makes us free. It's the truth that you know. You will know the truth and the truth will make you free. If you abide in my word, you're my disciple indeed. John 8:32. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. Just a simple definition for lewdness when you see words like that. My best definition for lewdness is just unrestrained flesh living. Okay? It's just living like a mere man apart from the Spirit of God, just the lusts and desires of my own heart, of a heart that is void of the life and Spirit of God. And so unrestrained flesh living, lewdness, being past feeling. Past feeling means apathetic. That's the word there. So this passage is talking about now that we're Christians, now that we're part of this church who has a goal. Who has a goal. The church who has a goal. We don't want to live an apathetic Christian life. We don't want to live in ignorance. We're the ones who press in to get a clean, clear view of Jesus. Because if not, how are we going to be transformed into his image by his Spirit? When it's through beholding him. So this is why Jesus said, if your eyes single, your body is flooded with light. The power in the gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. It's the unveiling. The Holy Spirit shows us the truth. You have not so learned Christ. So that whole arena, I want to quickly read a few verses from Romans 1. Click there if you like. It's a very similar passage. We've read this before, but it's very helpful. I'm going to pick it up at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Do you hear the apathy in that? They knew God. Sounds like this could be talking about us. We're people who knew God, aren't we? They did not glorify him as God. As God. If he's God, I can't be. If he's God, I can't rely on my own resources anymore when he's the source. When the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I have to get weary of myself and realize I'm a created being and I need a God, a judge, a source, the supreme divinity, theos. They were thankful, but became futile. You hear the futile vanity, just this whatever kind of way of living that we can find ourselves in. Can anybody relate to that? Has anybody ever been there where your heart just gets a bit dull? You don't really care about the lost. Yeah, all of us been there. I've been there. Yep. You know, you've lost your ability to cry for people. You find yourself talking over the top of people because your love's grown cold. And it's all about you again. With Paul's saying, I don't want you to walk that way anymore. They became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. See how dumb it is to live out of our own wisdom and our own resources? When we profess to be wise, apart from seeking his truth, we become stupid. This is, and I'm not, that you say, well, that's a strong word. Well, yeah. It is a strong word. And actually, the word for blindness, because the blindness of their hearts in Ephesians 4 is stupidity, callousness, and hardness. So we don't want to be found in that place. You know, Moses warned the people about when they went into the promised land and they got all this plenty and provision, that their hearts would wax gross. That means get fattened up. Because of all the provision and all the plenty, and they would stop being needy for God. Okay, back to Ephesians. So in verse 20 it says, but you have not so learned Christ. So we don't want to live that way. What is that way? Because none of us want to live that way. None of us wake up in the morning and want to live that way. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize there's not a person in this room who hasn't lived that way. Is there a person in this room who hasn't just got up and lived out of their own mind, their own resources? At some point, hasn't had a pure, sincere pursuit of truth to fill your heart with the word, to abide in him. Because if we're not in that place of abiding, we get alienated from the life of God. If you abide in me, my sap, my spirit will be in you. If you don't, you will be like a cut off branch. All of a sudden, you're feeling dry. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Let's stop making it about that. We're talking about spiritual life here. We're talking about being Christians. We're not talking about whether we're going to heaven. It's not what it's about. But you have not so learned Christ. Now remember that passage Jesus said, learn from me. Jesus said, you have one teacher. He's the Christ. You have one teacher. 1 John, John says, you have the anointing, or the King James, the unction, I like that. It's old school. You have the anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you don't need that any man would teach you. You have the anointing, you know all things. You have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3 says. Jesus wants to be our teacher. And this is one of the horrors in the church, is that if somebody's not teaching by the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, how can you say Jesus is your teacher? You're listening to flesh. You're listening to intellect. It's dead. If you have been heard him and have been taught by him. So if we've been taught by him, we'll realize this whatever Christian life, this apathetic, just cruising around, relying on our own Bible knowledge from yesteryear, as opposed to getting up every day and getting fresh manna, and realizing man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes forth, not came forth, comes forth. It's relationship with Jesus. So if we've learned from him, as the if we've been taught by him, we'll know that that's not the way we live anymore. And Paul's saying, please don't live that way. If you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you put off. I've done this before with a jacket or a t-shirt when we're in Colossians, you know? And I won't take my shirt off, but you put it off, you know? If you put it off, it's not on you. You're not wearing it, okay? And I'm sick and tired. I'm so exhausted and weary of hearing Christian leaders, pastors, talking about the sinful nature as if it is up on a pedestal to be awed and revered and feared. When Jesus came to circumcise and cut away our sinful nature so we can live in the Spirit, it's unbelief, it's ignorance, it's false teaching, it's wrong. It's wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. We lord the weakness of the flesh above the power of the Spirit, and we call it humility. And it is false humility. It is pride. It is our love affair with our own performance. And it's not the way that we've been learned, if we've been learned by Christ. The truth in Christ is that you put that off. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Why? Because, or do you not know that as many have been baptized with Christ were baptized into his death? His death, he died to sin. His life, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God. We're new creations in Christ. We've died to sin. We've died to the old man. This is good. This is exciting. And this is the thing that we need to grasp. As the truth is in Christ, you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which goes corrupt. Why? According to the deceitful lusts. Your heart gets hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is bad. Sin brings death. And now we have the Holy Spirit. Now we're Christians. But it's not this weird message where now we have this punched passport to heaven and God understands and we can continue to live in sin and his grace covers us. That's not the message. Sin still brings death. Now we have the Spirit in us. Now we have a clean conscience because of the blood, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring sin to our attention. Not so that we put it on like a t-shirt and say, this is who we are. So we confess it. And the torrent of the blood of Jesus takes it away. And we put it off because that's not who we are. It's not fitting for saints. Come on! This is the gospel. We're new creations. And as we're growing in this reality of who we've become, we find the grace and the empowerment and the Holy Spirit lubrication to live it out. But if we fail to realize who we've become in Christ, we say no to the grace of life. I'd prefer to keep my own heavy burden and keep my religious love affair with my own performance. I prefer to keep striving and trying to live the Christian life. Thanks, Jesus. I believe that your cross is enough to get me to heaven someday, but I don't believe it's enough to get heaven back into me now, which ironically is what Jesus preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's the message. It's not pray this prayer, go to heaven and stay in church. That's not the message. It's we're praying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done now on earth, in my life, in my heart, in my family, in my church, as it is in heaven. Because he's bringing heaven and earth back together, and we are a new creation in Christ. We're part of the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits. He is the first of the resurrection of the dead. And now we've got resurrection life in us. All right. It's very exciting. As the truth is in Jesus. See, if we haven't heard this stuff, it's because we haven't been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We've been taught a whole bunch of other stuff. And it keeps the church bound in sin consciousness. and bondage, just like the Israelites who wandered around and they were free from Egypt, but they didn't get Egypt free from them. They didn't learn to eat the manna. They didn't learn to drink the water and give thanks and praise to God. And their bodies lie scattered in the wilderness. And these things are warnings for us that we don't go in the same way. Let's be Joshua's and Caleb's who believe he's given us a kingdom, who believe we can enter in and go in and take the land and walk about to and fro in the land. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, this is the missing piece. This is the missing piece, Christian. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Learn to think in a whole new way than you've ever thought before. Repentance is thinking differently, metanoia. This is the message, guys. Repent and believe the gospel. And I've noticed something happening in the church, from my experience over the 5 and a bit years I've been saved, is that we have some Christians who are good at doing the repent part, and we have some who are doing good at believing the gospel part, repent and believe the gospel, but it's rare that we realize it's one. So there's people that are repenting a lot, sin, wash, repeat, sin conscious, we're all sinners, yeah, we got a sinful nature, yeah, we all fall short, and we take scriptures out of context and put it on, and it's like a false humility thing, and we have no victory, we have no joy, but we repent, and we talk about sin a lot, and then we have other people who are trying to believe the gospel, and talking about, I'm a new creation, I'm righteous, and rah, 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 but they're still dragging their sins around, because they haven't confessed. They haven't produced fruits worthy of repentance. You have to come to Jesus needy and broken and really aware that you're a wretch. You're depraved. You're broken. You're empty. You're busted. You're bent in on yourself. This is the sinful condition. That's how we come to him. And then we say, that's yuck. I don't want that anymore. And then we believe the gospel, we confess, we put that stuff out. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to treat my wife like that. I don't want to do this stuff anymore that I hate. I don't want to live in Romans 7 anymore. It's not the Christian life. Romans 8's the Christian life. Living by the Spirit. So we come to him and we confess and we stop hiding it. Because how can we believe I'm a new creation if I'm still dragging my sins around? And I'm trying to believe the gospel through all my junk. That's why if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to learn to walk in the light, guys. We've got to learn to walk in the light. We've got to learn to confess our sin, not so that everybody else can get around and point at us and shame us. Because when we bring it out into the light, now we believe that we're serious. Now our heart stops condemning us. Now the blood takes away and we can actually believe the gospel. And we've got to get renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we read about this in Colossians. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Not on things in the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, we died to this life. This is what we failed to preach. This is what water baptism's about. It's about dying with Jesus. Dying to the lie that this is my life. Dying to self. Dying to living for me. Dying to building my own kingdom and my own righteousness. We go under in the likeness of his death, and then we come up in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm done. I'm finished. That's why water baptism is the antitype which saves us. It doesn't. Salvation's not because of water baptism. That's not what he means. The antitype that saves us is water baptism. Peter talks about it, and he says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, the answer of a clean conscience towards God. Repent and believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins. For the washing of your sins. These are all scriptures in Acts. And times of refreshment will come in the presence of the Lord. I've baptized people and they come up and they say, I feel so clean. Yeah, that's right. It's the blood of Jesus. You've just said, I want to be in Jesus. I believe in the accomplishment of his death and his resurrection, and I'm in. That's what water baptism is. I'm in. And then you look back on that for the rest of your life when Satan comes and condemns and accuses you, and you say, no, I died with Christ. My old man is dead and buried. That is not who I am. That's the reason I feel grieved about this thing, and I'm putting it off. I'm not going to wear it like a t-shirt, and I thank you, God, I'm a new creation. You have presented me holy and blameless and above reproach in your sight. We're putting on the new man. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I think it was, a good tree produces good fruit. And we talk about this stuff. We talk about out of the heart the mouth speaks, out of the heart flow the issues of life, out of the heart flow the consequences of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So why don't we start thinking different in our heart? Why don't we get a healthy identity restored through the gospel? Why don't we start to believe who we've become? Because we can stay at this place of repent, 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 repent. But if we never put on Christ, if we never bow our knees and receive the free gift of righteousness, we won't reign in life. Because we'll continue to do it in our own strength. Turning away from sin, recognizing the sin and the brokenness is a problem. And we have to go through that. But then we have to actually believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. It's both. And the thing is that we talk about a life of repentance. It's not a scriptural phrase. I'm not saying it's not a thing. I'm not saying we don't live a life of repentance. I certainly do. Because I keep, you know, I'm growing. But the Bible does talk about a life of faith. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So somewhere between repenting and realizing our need for a Savior, the church has failed to put on Christ and get renewed in the spirit of our mind and realize who we've become. And so that's why we've got no power. That's why we're doing the Christian life in our own strength. That's why we're more aware of our sin and our failures than aware of his amazing love for us. That's why we've got no joy. Brian read the scripture this morning, the God of all hope will fill you with peace and joy in believing. You see? And this faith thing, this believing the gospel thing, is not going to fall into our lap, guys. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. We've got to seek him. We've got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We have to seek him in the secret place if we want to be rewarded in the open. So this is about identity. This is about realizing who we've become. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And then we look at our fruit and go, I must be a bad tree. No, it's your identity. You get settled in your identity. You learn who you've become in Christ. You open the word to find out the truth about who you've become. You seek him and you let what he's saying about you be true, and it changes the fruit in your life. And he gets the glory. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Abide in me. And then he stops and says, you're already clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Why does he stop and do that when he's talking about abiding? Why does he just off the wall say, you're already clean because of the words I've spoken to you? Because if we don't believe that we're clean, we can't abide. Because we're still trying to get to God. And like Peter, we have to let him love us and let him wash our feet and make us clean. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that if anybody is in Christ, they're a new creature. Yeah, Lord, thank you that Jesus, you said, if anyone comes after me, he first must deny himself and pick up his cross, pick up his death, and follow me. Thank you, Jesus, if one died, all died. And if one died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Thank you, Jesus, that in Christ, in you, all things are made new. We've got a new identity. We've got a new reason for being. We've got a new Father. We've got a new future. We've got a new past to us. We realize before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb slain. And we've been infinitely loved forever since we came into your mind, into your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not just be a church that repents, not just be a church that puts off the old man, not just be a church that turns away from sin, but be a church that believes the good news, that believes the gospel, that believes in the blood of Jesus, that believes in the high priestly ministry of Jesus, that the veil is torn, the sacrifice is made, and we can come in through this new living way you've made for us, and there is nothing hindering anymore. There's nothing separating us from you, Lord. But Lord, I also pray that we wouldn't be a church that tries to believe the good news without addressing our sin, without confessing it and calling it what it is. Thank you, Father, that you desire to reveal yourself through us. You desire to fill us with your life and produce fruit by your Spirit in each of us. And this is the easiest thing in the world for you to do. But it costs us everything. We have to cease from our own works. And so, Lord, I pray for those of us who are weary and heavy laden, that we would come to you and learn from you as the truth is in Christ, and that we would put on this new man, that we would put on our new identity in you, Jesus, so that you can flood our lives with your grace, with your Spirit, so that you can cleanse our conscience from dead works, so that we might serve you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Over to Brian.